at the top of our program today, for about 5 years, Michigan's medical marijuana law has authorized doctor-approved patients either to grow pot or to buy it from state-certified caregivers. Now, the state legislature is looking at a second approach. Last week, Republican Senator Roger Kahn, a physician, proposed that in Michigan, marijuana goes from a Schedule I drug to a Schedule II drug. That reclassification could lead to medical marijuana becoming available in pharmacies. Kahn and other supporters say that would better ensure safety. Opponents say it could be an effort to corporatize marijuana and eventually even undo the 2008 voter referendum. East Lansing Senator Gretchen Whitmer sits on the Senate Government Services Committee with Senator Kahn. She joins us now to talk about that proposal and other capital business. Welcome back to Current State.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Senator Kahn seems to be saying that in Michigan, medical marijuana isn't medical enough. Is that a good way to look at it?
Well, I think that Senator Kahn is looking to expand the ability for, medical marijuana to be made available to people in the state of Michigan. You know, one of the misconceptions, though, I think about his bill in particular is that it relies on the feds changing marijuana from a Schedule I drug to a Schedule II, which means acknowledging that there is a medical purpose for marijuana. So he's written this bill to create pharmaceutical grade and permit corporations to come in and do the research and make this available to patients in the event that the feds do that. So this is a bill that's written based on a contingency happening at the federal government. And so I think it's created a lot of ambiguity for patients what this means. But at the end of the day, you know, it ultimately we need to wait on the feds to change this from a Schedule I to a Schedule II before any of this really becomes applicable to Michigan.
Now, this proposal passed the committee last week without your vote. Why did you abstain?
Well, my fear is that it's created a lot of ambiguity. You know, we had a number, we had one group testify in favor of the bill, and then we had 2.5 hours of testimony by patients who are frustrated with the system that we have in Michigan. You know, Attorney General Bill Schuette has interpreted the law and closed down dispensaries across the state, and it's really created an access problem for patients who have, you know, a legitimate need for medical marijuana. We've authorized it under the state law by amending our Constitution 5 years ago. And there is so much ambiguity that patients really are struggling and they're frustrated. So they saw this bill get such a quick introduction and hearing, and they came in to testify as to what their problems are with the current law. And one of my concerns is that we're not addressing the access issues that patients currently have in Michigan, but yet we're going forward on a bill for a contingency in favor of, you know, a business. And so I think that there's a lot of room for us to start talking about marijuana in Michigan, and this doesn't promote that conversation.
What would you recommend? I mean, do you have a particular recommendation that you're behind, that you support, that you think would be a more productive way forward with this?
Sure. Well, I think that there legislation has been introduced. A number of bills have been introduced that I think we should give at least the same amount of consideration to. And one was introduced by a Republican doctor in the House, Dr. Colton, who introduced a bill to make the dispensary process available and create more access. It's not in agreement with Bill Schuette's interpretation of the law, and so what we need to do is change the law to create better access for patients. That's something that I think we should be talking about. Another is perhaps it's time for Michigan to have the conversation about decriminalizing marijuana here in our state. You know, last week we saw three more communities move forward, Lansing, Jackson, and Ferndale, moving forward with decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana within their cities. I think that that's a conversation that's long overdue. And if you look at the polling, the legislature is behind the times, not surprisingly on this issue as we are on many, but that's perhaps a conversation and a debate that we should engage in.
How is the quality of medical marijuana determined now in in Michigan, or is that simply not nailed down to the degree that it should be?
It's not nailed down. You know, currently we permit providers, you know, people that have been authorized to grow small amounts of marijuana for their personal use or for patients, but it's very small amounts, and it's not something that is controlled quality-wise by the state.
Some opponents point to support of the bill by the company that is the sole supplier of medical marijuana in Canada, that's Prairie Plant Systems, and they worry that if bigger companies and pharmacies get involved, that it may even threaten the 2008 law, which does allow, as you say, certified individuals to grow. Are there still pieces of this you're considering then? You've referred to ambiguity several times. There's arguments on both sides that you're weighing.
I think that that's a legitimate concern. You know, in Canada now they've got one provider, and it is this particular company. They've taken it out of the ability for patients to, you know, to grow their own medical marijuana. And I think that even though under this bill we would have two different ways of patients having that ability, ultimately the fear that they would take over the whole growing side of the equation is something that I share their concern. It's about access for our patients.
We're talking with East Lansing State Senator Gretchen Whitmer here on Current State. Let's switch gears to the Court of Claims proposal on Governor Snyder's desk. In Sunday's Lansing State Journal, you wrote, Senate Bill 652, quote, might be the most brazen political power grab I've ever seen in my 14 years in the legislature, unquote. Would you consider some more limited reform that would regionalize the Court of Claims more and remove the focus on Ingham County?
No.
Or is it invalid from the get-go?
I think it's invalid from the get-go. I mean, this is a system that we've had in place since 1978. It was a bipartisan reform. Representative John Engler at the time voted for it. Governor Milliken, Republican, signed it. The rationale for making the Court of Claims in Ingham County is because it is the seat of government is Ingham County, and it was convenient because the Attorney General's office is a party on all of these lawsuits. There was a big cost savings involved because of the convenience here, and so the move by the Republicans and the governor to take the Court of Claims out of Ingham County is completely political. It's not about cost savings. It's not about convenience. It's not about justice. It's completely political, and that's why you've seen newspapers across the state pan this idea, whether it's the Free Press or the Lansing State Journal or the Battle Creek Inquirer or even the Detroit News, who is a pretty right-leaning publication, have all called on the governor to veto this overtly partisan legislation.
Even the news piece, though, you mentioned the Detroit News piece, which I noticed as well, even the news piece did recommend that the governor veto the measure, but that they advocated that the legislature create four geographical regions and a blind draw of judges to avoid the possibility of cherry-picking judges. At the heart of their case, I think they still seem to suggest that 3% of the state's electorate should not be electing all of the judges that decide cases against the state. Is there anything to that argument?
You know, it might have merit, and I certainly would be eager to engage in that type of a dialogue. The problem here is that there is no dialogue going on. This is a bill that was introduced, it was passed through committee, it was passed on the floor. Before it even went over to the House, the Ingham County Circuit Court judges were told to pack up their cases before it was even introduced in the House. And so that shows you that this was a fait accompli before it was even introduced.
Who issued that order? Do we know?
They were instructed to start packing up their cases before the sponsor of the bill even could tell us, does it apply to pending cases? The sponsor didn't even know what his bill did.
This is Senator Rick Jones.
Senator Rick Jones couldn't have told you if it applied to pending cases or not. Now, of course, we know it does apply to all the cases that were pending. 333 was a number that recently came out of the court. pending cases somewhere in the process of litigation. So you can't tell me this is about cost savings because they've just taken away all of the work that has been done on each of those cases and they have to start from scratch. You can't tell me this is about convenience because the Court of Appeals doesn't even have witness boxes where they can put people, swear people in for the purposes of testimony. They've asked the Ingham Court if they can use their courtrooms. I mean, this is overtly political. And the question is why? Why? Is it because there are so many cases about the governor's nerd fund pending in the Ingham County court?
You would say yes.
Is it because that there's compelled testimony on emergency manager cases in the Ingham County Circuit Court?
Is it?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the governor and the Republicans why. But I suspect that there could be a very causal connection there and that they want their own, they want to pick who decides cases against them, and that's not justice. That's stacking the cards to benefit yourself, and it's taken away people's right to challenge their government when they feel aggrieved by what's been done.
Are you aware whether the governor may be reconsidering his support of the measure?
He, I think, believe has said in a number of publications when asked that he plans to sign this bill. I'm surprised he didn't take some time out of his weekend to sign it because I think they're pretty eager to do that.
That's one of the reasons I ask the question is that there is a little bit of a delay here before the governor is signing it. But you have no indication that he's reconsidering his support.
I have no indication. I would certainly hope that he wouldn't sign the bills, but you know, his early indications were that he intends to.
A new Senate committee, Compliance and Accountability, will be looking into the compliance of Michigan teacher unions with the new right to work law. Your spokesman, Bob McCann, referred to this as a political witch hunt. What makes it a witch hunt?
Well, because when the Republicans see teachers as a party to a lawsuit, they want to create a whole nother layer to look into this. When the Republicans see their own governor as a party to the lawsuit, they change who decides the case. This is two different systems of government based on who you are in the state of Michigan. You know, the rule of law is that no one is above the law. We should let the court system play out on every case, and the legislature should not get involved, whether it's adding a greater burden or alleviating the burden for their own friends. That's baloney, and it's offensive to me as a lawyer, and it's offensive to me as a lawmaker, and as someone who is a citizen who ultimately wants to know that I get my day in court and everyone's treated the same under the law.
The Mackinac Center Legal Foundation is representing 8 MEA members, or former members, I'm not clear, to tell you the truth, in a complaint against the teachers' union, saying their efforts to stop paying dues were not handled properly. Have you looked into that? Does that case have any merit in your view, to the extent that you followed it?
I don't know if it's meritorious or not, and that's why it should have its day in court. You know, my suspicion is it's politically driven because it's the Mackinac Center getting involved, and I think you can always question what their motives are because they are an overtly political organization. But I do think that everyone should have their day in court, and that's exactly what I'm saying when I say we don't need a special committee to add another burden here, and we don't need to give the governor his own hand-picked judges to decide his cases. Everyone should have their day in court, and it's important that the citizenry knows and has faith that our judicial system works. And all of these efforts, I think, undermine that, and it makes me fearful as a lawyer, as someone who has a great reverence for the law and great respect for it.
You're one of 4 quadrant leaders. You're referred to the leaders of both parties for both the House and the Senate in Michigan, along with Representative Grimal, Senator Richard Ville, and Representative Jace Bolter. What have you been discussing lately, and how often do you meet?
Well, you know, I would say in the governor's first year, I think we'd met twice. In his second and third year, probably in combination of 7 or 8 times. The bulk of the meetings have happened in a very short period of time relatively recently, and we focus a lot of energy talking about transportation. We do have a meeting scheduled this week, and that, I'm told, is the subject. I don't know much more other than that what is on the table for our discussion. And even if I did, I don't know if I could tell you, but I don't yet.
Well, I have to ask. Are they productive? Are they generally productive meetings or not?
Well, I think that they can be. And I am an optimist by nature. I never would have run for political office in the first place. I will say, though, that when you have this overtly partisan agenda being rammed through and stuffed down our throats here in the legislature and on behalf of the citizens, that it undermines our ability to find common ground. You know, that happened with right to work. Governor took a, it took a long time before we even were trusted one enough to have meetings, much less try to find some common ground on issues. And this Ingham County court issue with the Court of Appeals, I think, is the same type of thing where it undermines our ability to find common ground when you find out how overtly partisan the agenda is on behalf of the governor and the Republicans. But I try to go open-minded into all the meetings, and we'll see what happens. We've got big issues that we need to solve for the people of our state, and so much time we focus on these ugly partisan issues, it takes away from our ability to solve those ones that we need to find common ground on.
Our guest has been Democratic East Lansing Senator Gretchen Whitmer. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. Always good to be here.